We have some candles here in the front on the front table up here. We never light them. We've joked about sometimes having a hurricane if the lights go out in the evening time when it's dark, and we might have to use something like that in order to be able to see. I have been in services sometimes when there's some really bad weather and the power gets knocked out. I remember a couple times in Bryan Station Baptist Church, and the preacher did preach by flashlight. He had a flashlight. But that's not what this is about. But yeah, we did sing "This Little Light of Mine" this morning. It's a little light. I was going to look up something and see. I believe that if you, on a good calm night, and it's dark, you can see a candle like this from more than a mile away, maybe up to 5 miles away. You can see the light of a candle. Can everybody see that? Can you see that? That's not really what I'm... And tonight's message, or today, this afternoon's message, is really not... so much of a message as maybe a collection of thoughts, if you will, about a subject that I was thinking about. And it's about fire. About fire. And just some thoughts for us to think about concerning fire. And we're gonna look at some things in the Bible about fire. Fire mesmerizes us, does it not? Are you not mesmerized when you look at fire? You have a campfire or a fireplace or a fire pit, or they have a lot of things now where you can put fire in a bowl or a thing that you can have on your patio, and you can have a fire. And down here in Florida, we don't see that much because it's just hot. We don't tend to need fire. But up north, I watch a lot of YouTube videos of places up in the snow, and right now they're just covered in snow. And to watch them make a fire is comforting to know there's warmth there. But you know, we use fire every day in some form. And you think, well, when it gets really cold here, we don't have a stove here. You know it takes fire to make electricity? Yes. When you go back to the FPL generation plant, and there's one right up here in Cocoa, I don't think it's FPL, but it's right off, right behind Sam's up there. And I know what they use. They use fuel oil. They use fuel oil to power a turbine. But there's fire in there that's turning that around. The turbine is turned by steam, but the fire makes boils the water, makes the steam. And that's how they... So there's fire. We use fire. Even for our air conditioning, we use fire. You got here this morning, this afternoon, because of fire. What is an internal combustion engine?
Fire.
It's combustion, and combustion is fire. So we have a lot of things to think about when we think about that. But I got thinking about fire. We've learned about fire since we were small children. We learned that fire was dangerous. It burns. How many people have been burned? Probably all of us. We've all been burned by something hot or by fire. And we learned that it's... We learn even as adults that it can be dangerous. I think I've told you guys all the story about setting my property on fire. It wasn't funny at the time. I mean, I look back now and laugh about it, but it wasn't funny at the time. And Kim's not out here to laugh at me, so that's good. But as we grew up, we learned how to use fire for our advantage. And we learned how to respect the properties of fire. Fire is incredible. But what is it? What is it? What is
that? What is that?
You say, well, it's the wick and the wax. Yeah, I get that. And I get that the wick is probably burning some of the wax. But what is that that gives off that light? That energy is coming off of it, and it's hot. You can feel the heat of it. What is that? What is it? I looked it up on Wikipedia. According to them, this is what they say fire. Fire is the rapid oxidation of a material in the exothermic chemical process of combustion, releasing heat, light, and various reaction products, like smoke and ash. Did you get that? Me neither. That's why I don't understand what that means, and I think they don't understand it either. There is no explanation to me for fire. It's a mystery.
Yeah.
It's a mystery to me. We all take it for granted. We see it all the time, but fire is something you really cannot explain. Think about it. You can't explain it. It's there. You can see it. I can't see through it. But it's not solid. But it's not liquid or gas or anything like that. What is it? They've described it as like a plasma state. Something like that. You may read various explanations and hypotheses of what fire is, but I haven't seen one yet that can actually explain what it is. Is it possible that fire is a type of a spiritual nature? And we'll get into what I mean by that. A type. I'm not saying this fire is any kind of spirit or anything like that, but I'm saying a type of. So, let's take a look at it in the Bible. The word fire in the Bible is found some 515 times. And that's just the word fire. Now, there's also flame and heat and the other various related words that would be related to fire, but the word fire itself is found over 500 times. And there's a great deal of talk about fire in the Word of God. First one I want you to look at, we're going to look at a lot of Scripture, so please have your Bibles handy. You should have your Bible. Let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 24 says, it's a very short verse. It says, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." Check out what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, all the way to the other end of the Bible, just about. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29. That's even more condensed here. It says, "For our God is a consuming fire." Wonder where they got that. Well, they probably got it from the Old Testament. Our God is a consuming fire. And we've heard that before. The first mention of the word fire is in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 24. Genesis 19:24. And I think we know where that is since we've been studying the first book of the Bible, and we're into Exodus, sorry. Genesis 19 and verse 24. It says, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground." This was God as a consuming fire. God rained down. I watched a special on television not too long ago about trying to explain away. You need to be careful about this whenever you watch any of these things on TV about they will almost always try to explain away with some kind of physical thing that happened, like there was a nearby volcano or something and it shot stuff up in the sky and it comes down and just happened to come down on Sodom and Gomorrah. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says that God rained it down out of heaven, showing His anger with sin and His fury with sin. And fire was used in judgment. And I was surprised to see how many times in the Bible that the Lord rained down fire or sent fire from heaven in judgment against those that provoked Him, or used fire to slay those that were in disobedience to the Lord. And it's several times, and I don't have all of them, but I've written down some of them here and some things for us to think about. Now, the Lord delivered Israel from bondage to the Egyptians, and He led them through the wilderness with a cloud by day and what by night? A pillar of fire. I didn't mention, I don't have that written down here, but I just thought about it as He was delivering the children of Israel with the plagues that came upon the Egyptians. Remember, one of the plagues was what? It was hail mixed with what? Fire. You ever seen that? Have you ever seen that? I mean, we see hail. We've seen hail damage and stuff even recently. But have you ever seen hail along with fire running along the ground? But He led them once they left Egypt with a pillar of fire by night, so they could not mistake the Lord's leading them.
Amen.
Now at Mount Sinai, which is where we are kind of in our Sunday school lesson, that's where we're studying right now. The Lord sat atop the mountain as it were on fire. Look in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 18. Exodus 19 and verse 18. I'm not making this up. A lot of these things came straight out of the scriptures here. It says, "And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke." You see, there's more words than just fire, but it gives you the idea. "Altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly." Look over in chapter 24, Exodus 24 and verse 17. "And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel." I don't think they were mistaken the mountain for a volcano. That's probably what people would say today, but now that's as far as we know, that's never been classified as a volcano over there. But that's completely different. The way that God was on top of this mountain was it was a fearful thing for them to see.
Amen.
Now, if you think about this, God had appeared to Moses, and I think we made this clear in our Sunday school class. We talked about this a little bit. God had appeared to Moses on this same mountain much earlier in the burning bush. As we read, Moses looked and he saw this is one of the things I want you to understand today, is that the fire of God is not like this fire, this physical fire. The fire of God is different. I don't believe it hurts those that are His, the fire of God. I think that it preserves His people. And you'll see that maybe in a little bit. The Lord also directed the children of Israel to use fire in their service to Him. As you know, here in the book of Exodus and in Leviticus, God gives Moses the pattern for how they are to serve Him in all the tabernacle. And think about how many things in the tabernacle there was that included fire. They were to burn their sacrifices to the Lord. They were always to use fire. And if you read through, and I can't count how many times that I read the words, made by fire. The sacrifices were to be made by fire. And they were to burn the sacrifices. And if you think about it, when you burn a sacrifice, you're thinking about what they used to do, and then the Levitical law, the things that they used to do, where did the heat, the smoke, the smell, all of that, when they burned a sacrifice, where did it go? It went up. And it's just silliness for me to think this, but God did not require them to make the sacrifices by water or by air or by earth or by anything else. It was always to be made by fire. And this is what we're trying to consider. We're trying to consider the actual fire. Also the altar of incense. Think about that too. The altar of incense was... they would burn the incense on that altar, and it went up. And the censer of the priest, they were to put fire in that. It was a thing that they held. I don't know whether it was like a little metallic ball that may have had holes in it and things, but he put fire. They put fire in that censer, and they were to, that had a pleasant smell about it. That the priest, but they had to use fire in order for that to happen. So we see that even in serving God, there was much fire to be that was used, and in the Passover, they were to burn after they roasted the lamb, and they roasted it with fire. And remember now, here's another thing too, and I hadn't even thought about this, but he specifically commanded them to not boil the flesh of the lamb that they were to eat for the Passover. They were not to boil it. It says not sodden at all. That means it was not to be made into any kind of a soup or something, but it was to be roast with fire. And then whatever they didn't eat of it until the morning, they were to burn it in the fire. They were to burn the rest of it. Fire. There's no questioning the fire of God's judgment. Look over in 1 Kings. 1 Kings. I may have to get moving along here. 1 Kings chapter 18. In 1 Kings chapter 18, we read of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. I thought that was an interesting place to go to. One of the places where we see that Elijah called down fire from heaven. And it was not the only time that Elijah called down fire from heaven. Obviously, Elijah did not have the power to do so, but God sent the fire. But look at 1 Kings 18 and verse 38. It says, then after he did all the things, we know the story about this and how he made them prepare the sacrifice and everything. So then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. I've never seen fire consume stones. Have you? That's some serious fire there. But that's the fire of God. But that shows the fierceness of God's fire. And then, of course, Elijah slew all the prophets of Baal. I'm not going to say he had fun doing that, but he rid the land of the Baal worshippers.
Amen.
Look over in 2 Kings in chapter 1, not too far over. 2 Kings chapter 1. In here we read of Elijah versus the two companies of soldiers. Now, the king had sent companies of soldiers to take Elijah by force. 50 soldiers in each one. So 50 plus the captain. Let's see. Verse 10. Let's read verse 9. And the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill, and he spake unto him, Thou man of God, the king has said, Come down. Now, you have to see the way that this is said to him, because it's a condescending way. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. It burned him up.
Amen.
All right, so then the second one, again, also verse 11, and he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. This guy was even more arrogant. He answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, Come down quickly. Get down here now. And Elijah answered and said to him, If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. The king didn't learn again. He sent a third one. The king didn't learn, but the captain of the third 50. There's a lesson here. There's some things here to learn. The captain of the third 50, what did he do? He pleaded with Elijah, please come. If you would be so kind, please come. The king has. And Elijah didn't have any good words for the king. The king was going to die. That was it. But at least the third captain of 50, he and his men survived. I think he learned a little something, because they already knew that the fire of God had come down from heaven and consumed them. Remember, we're talking about fire. Now Elijah, at the end of his life, at the end of his earthly ministry, if you will, what happened with Elijah? He was taken up to heaven by what? A chariot of fire. And I put in parentheses, and horses of fire. Now, that's not something you see every day, but a chariot of fire and horses of fire. Think about that. These are creatures of God, things that God has created. Now, Elijah's protege, having taken up the mantle of Elijah, showed the young man that was with him something in 2 Kings chapter 6, just a couple pages over from where we are. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 17. And Elisha prayed. Let's read verse 16. And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What a sight. What a sight that would be. Chariots and horses of fire, all the whole mountain covered. And speaking of the judgment of God, did you know that David saw the fire of God from heaven when he offered a sacrifice in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 26. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. David himself saw fire from God upon that altar. Now, when the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and you knew we were going there, the Lord answered by fire, more than once, in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, when the people complained, and we just talked about that this morning, people complaining, the people of Israel, it's like us, complaining. It's a good thing maybe God doesn't answer us by fire, right? And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were the uttermost part of the camp. It was not a good day to be on the back pew, Brother Jesse. It wasn't good to be on the outermost parts, outskirts of the camp, because the fire of God burned, and it burned them up, brought them more to the middle, brought them more in. And many of them died. Numbers chapter 16, over a few pages. And Numbers 16, we see here that a rebellion had begun against Moses and Aaron. And in verse 35, let's see what happened here. Let's read... Verse 34, and all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. They were ones that had gotten eaten. The earth opened up their mouth and closed over some of them. For they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Now this, there was 250 men that Moses had said, you all get censers. And you offer incense to the Lord, and we'll see if the Lord answers by fire. We'll see who's right in this. And the Lord answered by fire, and you got the ones that are right, and then you got the ones that are burnt. Because the ones that were wrong were no longer to be found. They burned them, God burned them up. God answered by fire, destroyed the rebels. In Leviticus chapter 10, one of the more well-known things, Leviticus, I'm going the wrong direction here. In Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, we read about Nadab and Abihu. Now, I heard Brother France preach a message about Nadab and Abihu, and it's still rings in my ears. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them a censer and put fire therein. See, you have to have fire. And put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Strange fire. Now that's a whole different sermon there. I think there's a whole lot of congregations offering strange fire before the Lord, and there's many good messages about that. We don't offer strange fire before the Lord. So Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons, and the fire of God killed them. Numbers chapter 21. In Numbers chapter 21. Verses 4 through 6. Remember this one. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Verse 6. And the Lord sent what? Fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. So I was thinking about this. What are these creatures? Horses of fire. Serpents of fire. This is interesting to me. There's God has his way of doing things. God sent the fiery serpents among the people. And when Moses put the serpent up on the brass pole, a type of Christ, people were to look and live. This is our fire, and whether it was fire as we recognize it or fire from God. There is also supernatural fire. And it seems to me that the Lord has described much in His Word with reference to fire. If you've been following along in the book of Ezekiel, especially the first few chapters there where Ezekiel described what he saw, was, I don't know, looking at God was like looking into the sun for Ezekiel. We know that Moses first communed with God via the burning bush. This is the first that we see of the supernatural fire. The bush burned, but it did not burn up. It's like this candle. It burns. I can't see where it's really done anything here. You know, but the bush was burning, but it was not burnt. There was no. It still had green leaves on it. So that was a supernatural fire of God, and we know that God was there because He told Moses take the shoes off of his feet, that it was on holy ground. Here's an interesting one. Let's look in Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13, if I can find it here. Now, this story is about, you remember Samson, the strongest man in the Bible. His parents, his mother had no child, and so they besought the Lord in order to have a child. Look in verses 16 through 20. It says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah," that's Samson's father, "though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread." He had offered him bread to stay. "And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord." This is an angel of the Lord. And Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, "What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor?" And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Why askest thou after my name, seeing it is a secret?" Do you remember Jacob wrestling with the Lord? And he asked him his name. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up towards heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. I thought that a very interesting passage there. The angel did wondrous that he went up in the smoke, from the offering of the altar. He went up in that. Daniel Daniel chapter 3. I want to turn to that. Remember, we're talking about supernatural fire. In Daniel chapter 3 and verse 20 through 27, this is Nebuchadnezzar. He commanded that the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember, they were mighty men. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into..." Notice that we always call them the three Hebrew children, don't we? What did Nebuchadnezzar call them? They were the men, three men bound into the midst of the fire. They answered and said to him, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I don't know how Nebuchadnezzar would have known that. The fire of God does not hurt his children. They killed those men that threw them in there. I think I would have walked away. Put these guys in the furnace. No, I think I'll try to live another day. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 27, Ezekiel 1:27 says, and I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. You think about fire and the way that Ezekiel described. It's been a while since we were back in the first chapter of Ezekiel, but it's very interesting, his description of God. It's like looking into the sun. It's like fire is such an interesting thing. Back in the book of Judges, I don't mean to jump around this much, but there are things that I saw that was very interesting. Back in the book of Judges, chapter 6, we see a man named Gideon. Gideon has an interesting encounter in verses 20 and 21. It says, and the angel of God said unto him, unto Gideon, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. This is for an offering. Excuse me. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there arose a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Another time. Interesting. I find that terribly interesting. And we're running out of time here, but there's other places here, but I want you to think about in Acts chapter 2 and verse 3, the Lord's church, when they were endued with power on the day of Pentecost, what was it that came down and sat upon each of them? Fire. Fire. It was as tongues of fire that came down. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29, he describes God's word as a fire. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, Jesus baptizes his followers with fire. Those aren't my words. I'm not making that up. That's straight out of God's word. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, he talks about a coming fire. There is fire reserved for this earth, for this this sinful world. And one day, all of this will be burned up. Look over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to have to finish it up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12 and 13. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort that it is. What's going to remain? The things that we have, what we've done on this earth. What will remain and what will be burned up? Look in verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Who were you warn of the coming judgment? Jude chapter 1, 22 and 23. There's only one chapter in the book of Jude. Says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Who will you warn of the coming judgment?" Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7 through 9. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." If you don't know the Lord, don't you want to? Seeing that all these things shall soon come to pass. There's one more fire that's mentioned in the Bible. And it's the worst one of all. It's the fire of hell.
Yes.
This is the place of everlasting torment. God made it for Satan and his angels. He tells us so in Matthew 25, verse 41. It is everlasting fire. It does not burn itself out. It doesn't go out.
Right. Amen.
I can put this candle out. I will. But the fire of hell, it never goes out. It is eternal fire. And it is said that there is more said about hell in the Word of God than there is about heaven. That means the warning is urgent, as the rich man in Luke chapter 16 found true. And remember what Abraham told him. He said, if you send Lazarus back, then they'll listen to him. If one comes back from the dead. And Abraham said, no, even if one comes back from the dead, they're not going to listen. And there's a reason why he said that. But one did rise from the dead.
Yep.
Jesus Christ, conqueror of death and of hell. Fire. God created it. It is used in the description of our God. Do we fully understand what it is? No. Don't take it for granted. When you gaze upon a flame, think about God who created it and what a wonder that it is. That's all I have for today.